Today's reading comes from excerpts from Genesis 1 through 9. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. So God created human beings in his own image. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply." Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was very good. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation. So he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, "You may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die." Now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame. The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. It broke his heart. And the Lord said, "I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. Yes, and I will destroy every living thing, all the people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky. I am sorry I ever made them." But Noah found favor with the Lord. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at the time. And he walked in close fellowship with them, with God. Noah worshiped the Lord, and the Lord was pleased, saying, "I will never again curse the ground because of the human race. Even though everything they think or imagine is bent toward evil from childhood, I will never again destroy all living things. As long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night." God reaffirmed his covenant with Noah's family, giving them stewardship over all creation, all living creatures. And God set the rainbow in the sky as a reminder of this divine promise.
The word of God, people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Dear God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. Well, to quote Maria in The Sound of Music, let's start at the very beginning. A very good place to start. When you read, you begin with. When you sing, you begin with. Ha, right? And when we want to learn about God, we start with Genesis. As true a line as Ms. Andrews sang in her role of Maria 60 years ago, so true is it for us today. The very beginning is a very good place to start. Today we begin our school year-long journey through the Bible. With the aid of the Story Bible, we'll chronologically read, focus our worship, discuss in small groups, and teach our children the story, God's story. This rearrangement of scripture will invite us to look at the course of the earth from 2,000 years before Jesus to his death and his resurrection. And upon conclusion of these 31 chapters, we'll be invited to consider how God's story is still active 2,000 years after Christ. The story, God's story, begins at creation. The first book of the Bible, Genesis, lays out the creation of the water, earth, and sky. In what's described as God working for 6 days and having one day of rest, we hear about the seed-bearing plants and the trees that bear seed with their fruit and the animals that are meant to enjoy it. And repeatedly we hear, it is good. According to those notations, we hear that God's voice said, it is good. When people were created, we read, it was very good. Humans created and invited to live in the Garden of Eden until they needed to be removed because they stepped out of relationship with God by eating from the one tree that God said not to eat from. The tree of knowledge is created with fruit that would help one to differentiate between good and evil. And after eating from that tree, we hear that there's also another tree called the tree of life for which Adam and Eve should never be allowed to take part. The story continues with their children, Cain and Abel. But Cain is the only one that lived long enough to presumably bear children. After years of brokenness, we hear of a man named Noah, one whom God decides to spare. Noah and his family and the animals live on the ark for 150 days during the rains and floods. And when the land is completely dry, they disembark and they see the rainbow, the sign of God's covenant. I will admit, sometimes I get a bit caught up in the details. And other times I take great joy in finding a bird's eye view. When I learn about God, sometimes I like to step back so that my whole heart can trust. And so I appreciate some of the words that I've read in here and the phrases like vault, light, sacred times, very good. Afraid. I get caught up sometimes in wondering about the value of hearing from the very beginning the term breath of life. And I spent more than a few minutes wondering if many of us have made a very terrible mistake after rereading this scripture, if we have made a very bad misunderstanding when we have eaten of the muscle of animals, when clearly God says that we've been entrusted with the vegetation for food. I still ate my meat last night, but I wondered. What helps me the most as I begin this journey to understand how I fit into God's story, or how God fits into my story, or both and, is that we have a place to start. It all began with nothingness. God and nothingness. And God spoke or worked or created, and the part that creation was, the humankind part, I'm included in that piece from the very beginning. It ties my very breath to the breath of life that was breathed into humanity, that was placed in first creation. I find that extremely reassuring because I desire to understand where I come from, and it helps me to shape where I'm going and what to do in between. There's a good modern proverb about living the dash. Have you heard about that? Living the dash. It's in reference to your tombstone, where a date of birth and a date of death are often connected through a piece of punctuation called a dash. And that dash, or hyphen, stands for more time, energy, experience, usually, than either of the two numbers that are listed. That tiny mark represents a lot. And it reminds us that we're to make the most out of, or to live out, the dash. So on this day of new beginnings, I would like us to ponder how we will live out our own dash. I'm thrilled. I am. I'm thrilled that you're here with me today. Oh, I'm not supposed to go up on my toes. Sorry. I get so excited. I'm thrilled that you're here with me today and that you've decided that this morning you're going to watch or listen or someone later is going to watch or listen to this message and think about and read about the same text that I read, that Jason read, that we can all read. I am excited that we get to start at the same place together. But I also greatly understand that although we may read the same text, that we each approach it differently, maybe similarly, but differently. Individually, we all have our own banks of knowledge, our own life experiences. We have different companions. We each have our own fears. And all of those participate in how we hear or experience the text. I am hopeful. I am hopeful that you will take time to consider the words throughout Scripture that stump you, the ones that inspire you, and the ones that infuriate you. And that you might choose to join a small group or to find a partner to process these scriptures with. And those questions. I read that in the Garden of Eden, I read it as one took, ate, and gave, and another's response was, when a mistake was made, was to blame the woman that you put here with me. Right? Some scriptures infuriate you, and some stump you. But I feel like this delay that one human had in their response, and their accompanying later ownership of I ate, is one of the greatest challenges of humankind today. Out of a place of great fear, we continue to make missteps. I am thankful that the same God that created humans in their image also continued to not only desire to, but to work on maintaining relationship with them. A relationship with God is a desired outcome of this journey, at least for me, a greater relationship, more connectedness. Not only that relationship, but all relationships can benefit from a little tune-up or meet-up, or so I'm told. I pray that you will be courageous enough to try, wise enough to listen, loving enough to ask, and patient enough with yourself and each other to participate in the relationship with your God, with our Creator. May this time together, as well as being a breath of life that sustains you, may it be life-giving for you. May the communion that we receive in Jesus' name today be fruitful in your personal faith journey as we walk together. With God's help, may it be so. Amen.